So I titled this little devotional, A God's Care Package for the Holidays, Necessities for the Needy. And so in general, I think we could all say we are needy, right? And especially in December at the holidays, we tend to become more needy because there's just more issues that tend to come up in December, right? So first I thought, well, I don't know about you, but have you ever received a care package, or at least if you haven't received one, you've given a care package? I had never heard of what a care package was until I was in college, and my mother sent me care packages. I thought, oh, how sweet, look at my mother sending me a care package, and she'd have just neat little special things in it, right? It wasn't like she's sending me a gourmet meal or a big thing of clothes, but just these sweet little things to bless me. And then I have a girlfriend whose daughters are in the military, so she said, sends them care packages that just say, hey, these special things are to bless you. And then, of course, we have the shoebox gifts here, right? Those are little, just little special things that say, hey, you're loved, you're cared for. And these are, sometimes they're just to also those little necessities. Some don't have a toothbrush, right? And then other times it's like they need a new toothbrush, right? But it's those things that you can take and you know it's just going to be a good blessing for you. So we have a care package here that isn't meant to be pulling around because it's this big theological deep sermon. It's not the gourmet meal. It's just something you can kind of either carry with you or you can pass on to somebody who's needing a little extra care at this time of year, because we do. It's that time of year where we tend to need a little extra care from the Lord. So why would that be? Because our weaknesses tend to come out during this time of year. The holidays. And what do? We indulge too much. We spend too much. We judge others too much. Our hearts are more prone to wander at this time. And we can lose our focus and perspective, can't we? We just get busy. And we get busy with things that maybe shouldn't matter as much as we let them. But sometimes it's like, well, that's kind of like life for some of us, and we're growing up, right, and growing through it all. But here we are weakened by the attacks of the enemy at this time as well, because what is he going to do? He's going to tell us that, yeah, you indulge too much and you spend too much and you're judging others too much and you're not loved. We get that at Christmas time, or we're not loving. And we're just plain hopeless cases, aren't we? So then he's just like, why don't you just give up and die? And I get that sometimes. I'm like, and sometimes I feel like that. I just want to give up and die. And, you know, suicide is pretty high at this time of year, you know. And so that's what we don't want anybody in our circle, even outside of our circle, but especially in our circle, to have to feel that dark, right? And nor do we want to go there. And it's easy to go there. It just is easy. It's a vulnerable time for us. So we need a care package. We need a care package from the Lord of his word just to keep us up and keep us going. Because, you know, we have these defining moments. They're like forks in the road. So who had a strong Judas, he had quite the defining moment, right? And he didn't take the good path, did he? And then we had Peter. Look at the defining moment Peter had when he denied the Lord. Oh, and then what did he do? He cried his heart out. But what did he do? His defining moment, that fork in the road, was humility before the Lord. And it was a new, fresh beginning for him. And look how God used him. There is hope, right, in those places of such failure. And there are people out there who need to know in their failures. We need to be reminded in our failures, there is hope, right? Why? Because there's always new beginnings with the Lord. So we want to look at this little care package in a couple ways. And the first is one point. In fact, let's just do this. See, I'm telling you, it's not my gifting, but that's okay. In the care package, there is one point and three protections. So let's just go over the first point, which is where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. And Pastor Brian's perspective, or excuse me, his paraphrase is, God's got more grace than we've got sin. And I love that. And that's a very easy way to remember, well, whatever you've done, God has more grace to cover that. And just bunches more. And so we're going to look at three people and in light of this scripture. And the first will be, let me just back up too. So as we're going into December, it seems to bring out vulnerabilities in our heart, right? And I'll just say we tend to look at our past maybe in ways we don't otherwise look at our past in the rest of the year. We have hurts and disappointments and losses and regrets. We can look back and get really sad, and we can lose heart, can't we? And then in our present may not at all look like what we expected it would look like, what we wanted it to look like, right? Especially with family members, circumstances, financial issues, feelings of loneliness. And then we have the future, which is about our concerns and the what ifs. So we have a lot of fear and just, uncertainty, right? But it all comes back. Let's just bring it all back to what? To the Lord. Is the Lord enough for us in December, right? Is the Lord in the true Christmas story? There's the holidays, and we know those holidays, it's supposed to be holy days, right? But what do holidays tend to become in the worldly sense? And we can so easily get sucked in. Holidays, jolly days. Oh, ho, 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 let's be jolly. So, but we want to think of holy days. So anyway, we want to have three protections as we go into this time. We have 22 days ahead of us. And I know I lived out here, and all my family lived in the Midwest, and so it was just me out here. And I would tend to eat more than I should have. That was my way of dealing with issues and things through the holidays especially. So, we need our protections and our strengths as we go into this time of year. And the first protection is over our past, those issues that, are the hurts and disappointments and even just the failures of ourself. And especially, that's where many times it's hard to forgive ourselves many times, right? So, and you all know this. So I'm not giving you anything where you go, that was like so deep, Denise. Wow. It's not like that. I'm just going to give you a couple reminders so you can say, I'm going to hold this over my past, right? And it's just 1 John 1:9. You all know it, right? And if you don't, it'd be one of those things that would be good to memorize, which is, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what does he want to do? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so to go along with that, let's look at Philippians 3:13-14, or just listen, which is, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it so struck me when we talked about Noah, of what he did in his little infamous episode. So we know that Noah found grace in the eyes of God, right? But we also know, and so he was chosen for this he was one of his, and then he and his family, they get in the ark, they're over a year, they're in this ark, they come out, you know, everything's looking good for Noah, right? He's Mr. Wonderful. And then he comes out and he becomes a farmer, right? He makes wine. I mean, I don't think there was anybody else there making wine. And he gets drunk, right? So whether he was like, oh, I had no idea this was going to do this to me, you know, or if he on purpose, we don't know. That's not the issue. The issue is, doesn't look good for him, does it? So, not a good episode for Noah. But he had 350 more years to live for the Lord. And that's what hit me. He had great victory. I mean, here he is, one of eight people in the ark, saved. Seems like what we know of him, at least, he 100 plus years he was building the ark, right? He comes out, he had time enough to become a farmer, and then, you know, we hear this episode, which is for us. Thank you, Lord, that we get to know Noah wasn't Mr. Perfect, right? And then in Philippians 3:13-14, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I can see Noah saying that. Wow, Lord. I mean, talk about Mr. Humility now. He now knows he did not apprehend. If he had any inkling that he thought he did before, he now knows, wow, Lord, I now know I count myself not to have apprehended, like major blow it job there, Lord. But this one thing I do. So, okay. Forgetting those things, forgetting that thing I just did that was like so stupid and like, oh my goodness, which are behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So whatever that thing is in your past, can you just put it under the blood of Jesus? Can you put 1 John 1:9 over it? Can you say, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and it's to press forward, right? So that's what we want to do at this time with our past. And those are those things that we're talking about at the holidays, because our past can so easily come up and haunt us. And we have lives to live, ladies. There's so much God has given to each one of you. And I love that song, you know, we were singing at the beginning about how beautiful God is. Beautiful you are. But you know, he says that of each one of us, that you are beautiful. He's made you that most beautiful, sweet creation of his. He looks upon you and just sees this beautiful person. And so don't give in to those lies. Here you are. You have, again, you have years. Some of you have 30 or 40, 50, 60 years. Who knows? To serve the Lord. So, and again, you know, we know this. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. We're so surprised many times. We can be so disappointed in ourselves. God isn't. So we know this. We're coming into December. You know, we have no idea for some of us what's going to hit you from your family, right? All of a sudden, you have to get into those family situations and get-togethers and your children and the blah, blah, blahs. And who knows what triggers it? And you've just now screwed up big time, right? Screwed up, sinned, blown it, whatever you want to call it. And you just want to beat yourself up, right? We're not going to do that. We're going to take it to the Lord, right? We're going to confess it and just know that he was not surprised. And this is, again, it's nothing to say, but to have this ready for you in this time of December, because it's a trying time for us. So we looked at our past, what we can do to help out in the past, what we've dealt with in the past. But then we have our present, right? And this is what we know for the things going on in the present, where we have, you know, an Anne over here. Anne knows she's living in a present hell, and she keeps pressing on, right? But Psalm 46:10 says what? Be still and know that I am God, right? Stamp that over your present. And then to put with that, why should you be still and know that he is God? Because Jeremiah 32:27 says, this is the Lord, behold, I am the Lord of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You pair those two together and it's like, why shouldn't I be still and know that he is God, right? And so for the present, I thought we would just peek at Abraham, because if anybody tried to take matters in his own hands, right? What did he do? He went from Haran down to Egypt because of the famine, and then he lies about his wife, that it's his sister and not his wife, right? Well, that was like so stupid, but we do stupid things, don't we? And then he gets out, and Hagar has this child, right? And there's another place that he should have been, be still and know that I am God, right? You can just see all these places to stamp over Abraham, be still and know that I am God. You didn't need to go down to Egypt. You didn't need to lie about Sarah, nor do that a second time about lying about Sarah. And we do it to ourselves many times, right? And God is saying, be still and know that I am God in the present situation. And whatever you're going through right now, can you say and believe that God, who says, behold, I am the Lord of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me? Can we stand on that, on his word? You know, it's not us fabricating anything. It's his word to us. So that's our present, what we can stamp over our present. And there's going to be someone, you know, here's the deal. God has not brought you here studying like you study, coming to this church for many years for many of you. You are ministers of the gospel. You are his ambassadors. We are the priesthood of the brethren. That means God's going to use you and God's going to bring somebody into your path. We just need to be sensitive, right, to him and being open, available, willing, right? And you're going to be ministering to him on his behalf for him to somebody. And it's going to be in December because, again, this is the time when people become very vulnerable. So that's stamping something over our present. So for our future, two scriptures. And most of you know, if not, it's a good one to keep in your little, I always call it the quiver, so you can pull out that arrow and shoot down the lie of the enemy. And it's Jeremiah 29:11, right? So we could almost all quote it together, which is, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, and they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And to I paired that with 1 Corinthians 2:9, which is, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." And some of you can say that, can say, "Yeah, my mind is blown about what God has done for me so far," right? And it's just going to get better, especially when you think of eternity. So it's a time when we need hope, right? And hope so much has to do with our future. And Jennifer was saying how she has a fear, and it probably has to do with the future. And we all have those places where you just go, "Oh my goodness, Lord, I struggle with this area of not letting fear overcome me, of not letting this disease overcome me, not letting this issue with my husband take me down," right? So we have those places. So I thought, who is the Bible character, especially at this time of year, but Mary? So Mary said, what did Mary say? She said, "Yes to the Lord. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." And so by saying yes to the Lord, Mary could have faced stoning, right? Because she was an unwed, pregnant woman, right? So in all the rest of her life, she had a reputation, she had aspersions, you might say, cast at her because of that. There was a stigma, right? It wasn't like this was done in hiding. So word got out. So Mary, if anybody had to entrust her future, right, to the Lord, it would be Mary. And when you think of where she had to go and walking to go to Bethlehem because of the census, right? Again, there's another thing, entrusting the future to the Lord. And so just to read just these scriptures of Mary, just as soon as I find it, this is what we know, is that she believed that the Lord would do what he said. And that's what Elizabeth was saying in somewhere in Elizabeth in Luke 1:45, it says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And this is what we know is told her. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And then take it down with, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." How sweet. She was troubled at his saying. I thought, shows such a sweet heart of hers that she wasn't just thinking she was, well, of course, well, yeah, but no. And then in verse 30, "Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And can we take those words as our own, right? "And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, and you and you. Blessed are you among women." Do we ever look at ourselves? And, you know, we're like her. We're like that little gal from wherever she was from. And, do you ever just go, "I'm a highly favored one," you know? And yet, we kind of should. There is something where we can say, "I am highly favored, right? I am the Lord's." And it's that encouraging yourself in the spirit, right? Yeah, God loves me. And we know it's not highly favored because we have so many giftings and talents and brilliance, right? I am highly favored because God loves me. And a pastor says, you know, what is true about you is what God says is true about you. Right? Now that can be a tough one when you are in a loser situation and you're, you know, it says, "Oh, I'm an overcomer in Christ," you know, and you're like, "Oh yeah, right, God, that's so not me." You know, I do that all the time. It's like, so not me. Thank you very much. But what's true about you is what God says is true about you. If he says that, it's true about you. Can you stand on the word that much? That when it said, when the word says that you are a highly favored woman of God, you can go, yes, I am. I'm going to stand on that, God, because you said it, not because I feel it, because we know this feelings. Well, forget the feelings part, right? But because you said it, Lord. And you're going to bring me into that place where I really see and understand that in a deeper sense, right? He's going to do that. That's what he does. And some of you who've been walking with the Lord for a while, you can say, yes, that is so true. I can say I am a highly favored one, you know? Now, right now, I'm in, and some of you say, I'm in a pretty good place right now. And then there are times when we go down in the valley and you're going, I am so not highly favored right now. But we still are. We may not see it, right? The clouds are in front of the sun. We're still highly favored, right? And then it just says right here, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. How about the do not be afraid, right? So we can take these promises here. You know, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Mary, you're not going to get stoned. Mary, I have everything in control. And we see that when we read the Christmas story and we go through it, right? We see God was so in control. It didn't mean it was easy for Mary, but she would, you know, in heaven, she's saying, wouldn't change a thing, would not change a thing. So blessed, so highly favored. So, yeah. And especially in heaven, she can say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for them that love him. So just Mary's response to all of this was, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. And her song can be our song. And it can be. It really can be our song. Can you sing that in your heart to him? So that's coming down to believing God at his word, in his word, at his word. And again, it will come back to our past, our present, and our future, covered by the blood of Jesus, covered by his word, covered by the fact, and it is the fact, right? We know it's the fact that Jesus came to save sinners, and God sent his son because why? He loves us, not because we are so perfect. Noah wasn't perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect. No perfect faith, but they were sure growing, and they were sure they were highly favored, not performance, but because of God's grace. So that's all I want to say is that when you go through December and you're finding yourself vulnerable and hurting and alone or lost, that you will see how much God loves you and that there is hope for your past, your present, and your future. And especially if you can't and you don't need this care package, you will pass it on to somebody who needs that little extra care that says to them, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more.